Goedemorgen. Good morning. It is indeed an honor for me to be here this day, to be part of this sermon, and the service rather, and pray that it will impact your heart and change your mind from glory to glory and power to power. There's always more in the Christian faith, always more, because there is just no end to the greatness and the glory of God. And we honor him and we worship him. Just something about the cross. We will speak a little bit about the cross, I think, throughout the sermon. But the cross plays an extreme important role in our faith. Many years ago, when I was still a Blue Sock, I'm still a Blue Sock Christian, but many years ago when I was truly very raw on all these things, I went for a visit to a place called Kwasiza Bantu, me and Ina and my family. And we came back, and Uncle Ben, who was our spiritual father, he's with the Lord now, also in this assembly. Uncle Ben led us to Jesus Christ. And he spoke a lot about the cross. And I think I was too raw for many of his, or too, you know, not brave enough, or not at that level of Uncle Ben, definitely not. Never reached his level. He's a superman of God. And then when he came back, he said, "Johan, what did you learn? What do they teach?" He said to me, I said to him, "Well, Ben, they're still at the old cross." He said, "What?" I said, "He's still at the old cross." And I couldn't understand, you know. I thought, wow, I've said something very clever now here, very theological or whatever. He said to me, "Hey, you never go away from the cross." But it was cross. So that's my lesson this morning. Never go away from the cross. That's where it all happened. And I prepared the message in English, in Afrikaans, so we'll see how we go. If I can't understand myself, we will go back to Afrikaans and see what's happening. But let us pray before we do. Father, we thank you so much that we are so privileged to be gathered in the congregation of believers in the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for so many things. Especially today, we want to thank you once again for the cross of Jesus Christ. Lord, we will never understand the enormity of the blessing of the cross. So pray today, Lord, that you'll give us fresh revelation, true revelation from your word about the glory and the power. And Lord, that you will build your house on the solid foundation of the cross of Christ. And that we will not, you will forbid that we should glory except in anything but the crucified Christ. Surrender our lives unto you, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way. If I talk nonsense, Lord, you are all powerful. You can change it from mouth to ear. Surrender, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I just want us to move a little bit away from the cross. Can you imagine that I would say that now? But we move a little bit on to tomorrow morning, 2,000 years ago. What happened? 2,000 years ago. I think those guys woke up on that Saturday morning in Jerusalem, and they had the shock of their life once again. Was yesterday just an awkward dream or something terrible that happened? What happened? Was it like when you lose a loved one that morning, 5 o'clock in Durban, when we stayed with Indian people? And they phoned us and said to us, "Your son Arnold's been killed in a motor car accident," and that unbelief. When they heard that Jesus Christ was crucified, or when they come back out of their dreamland into reality and they realize he's dead, their Lord and their Master is dead. No, can't be, can't be. What I said when I heard about Arnold, can't be, can't be. It's not possible. No, he was dead. Because the soldier raised his spear and he pushed it through heart and lungs and anyhow, all the other other organs. And when he pulled the spear out, mixed water and blood came out. So he was surely dead. He was dead inside. He was dead outside. He was crucified. He could never again become alive. That's humanly not possible. Not at all. But the Master was crucified. The Master was buried. The Master's grave was sealed. And later that afternoon, they all gathered at Salome's house to think about, just to be together. I think they had nowhere else to go. Hulle wil begin bepyn, so 'n bietjie nabetragting doen, soos wat ons baie keer of omtrent elke maandag aand by die manne bid hier, hou ons nabetragting oor die woord wat gepreek is, oor die dinge wat gebeur het. En ons beleef eintlik weer die wonderlikheid van gemeentelike lewe saam. Maar hulle kom toe saam en miskien om bietjie hierdie betragting te doen van wat gebeur het in die tuin van Getsemane, toe Jesus op sy knieë staan en hy bid en sy bloed word so sweet en hulle lê in slaap. Kom hulle by die paleis van Caiaphas. En van daar af stap hulle op. En toe het hulle al reeds, ek skakel baie goed uit, anders gaan ons baie lang praat vanmorgen. Toe het hulle al reeds Jesus skuldig bevind. Al reeds het hulle gesê, kruisig hom, kruisig hom, kruisig hom. Nee, laat ons Barabbas losmaak. Nee, hy moet gekruisig word. Jesus moet gekruisig word. En daar gaan hy met 'n droring kroon op sy kop. En hy spook en hy sukkel om hy swaar houtkruis teen daardie heuwel op te dra. En prys die Here vir 'n Simon van Sirene wat kom en 'n hand bysit en hom help. Dankie Simon. Eers het hulle nie veel te sê nie. Hulle gaan maar net saam met die groep. Wat sê jy in so'n situasie? Hulle praat oor die onregverdige hofgeding daar in Salome se huis, oor die ernstige straf wat hom opgelê is en hoe wreed die soldate hom behandel het. En dit was dalk Thomas wat 'n opmerking gemaak het oor sy arms toe hy vir hulle 'n bietjie hulle aandag vat en vir hulle in die gees vat na sy daar waar hy gekruisig lê vir hom opgehys het. En hy sê, het julle gesien hoe wyd het hy sy arms het, hulle sy arms moes uitstrek op daai kruis? En het was Johannes, die disipel van liefde, wat antwoord, moes om te wys hoeveel hy ons lief gehad het. Hy het ons so lief gehad. En ek het dit geleer met my klein dogter, daar in Frankryk. How much do you love him? How much do you love me, Opie? And then I would say, so much. See, is that all? I said, oh, it's so much. And that's how much he loved us. And scripture tells us in Ephesians 2, and this is in Afrikaans, maar God wat ryk is in barmhartigheid, het ons deur sy grote liefde waarmee hy ons lief gehad het, ook toe ons dood was deur die misdade, lewend gemaak saam met Christus Jesus. Maar in al hierdie dinge is ons meer as oorwinnaars deur hom wat ons lief gehad het. Want ek is verseker dat geen dood of lewe of engel of owerheid of mag of teenwoordige of toekomstige dinge of hoogte of diepte of enige ander skepsel ons sal kan skei van die liefde van God wat daar in Christus Jesus ons se Here is nie. Dit kom uit Romeine 8. Vers 37, die beskrywing van die allergroot liefde wat God vir u en vir my gehad het en nog steeds het. Hy wil hê ons moet hom ook so lief hê. Hy het ons met hom ook net so lief hê. Onthou toe hy vir ons gesê het, en jy moet die Here jou God lief hê uit jou hele hart, uit jou hele siel, uit jou hele verstand en uit jou hele krag. Dis die eerste en die groot gebod. Jy moet die Here jou God lief hê met alles wat binne in jou is. En tweede, om jou tweede hieraan gelyk, dis dit, jy moet jou naaste lief hê soos jouself. Daar is geen ander gebod groter as dit nie. En ons vijande, en Johannes en Jakobus, die seuns van Donder, Boanerges, was ook daar, en ek dink, Johannes sê vir Jakobus, eish, want hulle onthou, hulle, hoe die Samaritane, hulle weggewys van Samaria af, hulle wou nie eens vir Jesus nabij gehad het nie, toe sê mos Johannes vir Jakobus, Here, stuur die vuur, dat ons hierdie plekke uitrook, of uitbrand dan, en onthou die bergpredikasie van Jesus Christus, jylle het gehoor dat daar gesê is, jy moet jou naaste lief hê soos jouself, en jou vijand moet jy haat, dit is so geskrywe, maar ek sê vir jylle, seën die wat vir jylle vervloek, doen goed aan die wat vir jylle haat, bid vir die wat jylle beledig, en jylle vervolg, so dat jylle kinders kan word van jylle vader wat in hemele is, want hy laat sy son opgaan oor slegtes en goeies, en hy laat reën op regverdiges en onregverdiges. Is dit nie vir ons net weer nodig vandag om dit ook, miskien toch ook net weer te hoor nie? Jy moet jou vijand lief hê. En ek sê vir jy, dit raak al hoe moeiliker. It's getting more and more difficult to love your enemy. Because the enemy is constantly changing from bad to worse, and we are witnessing of all those things, and it's terrible, and we cannot believe that it's happening, but it's happening, and it's still the same enemy, and God says, Jesus said, you must love them. Aish, Lord. You're making it so difficult sometimes for us, does he not? Hoe kan ons so reg bid, as ons uit haat of wraak bid? And Thomas again says sy arms is so wyd oopgegooi vir die nasies. He has a special love for the nations of the world. Hy het ons gedurig herinner om in die hele wêreld te gaan en die wêreld te vertel van sy liefde, en om die wêreld te vertel om disippels van alle nasies te maak. En dit is ook om sy liefde vir alle nasies te bewys. Onthou Nicodemus het ons vertel dat Jesus vir hom gesê het, God het die wêreld so lief gehad, dat hy sy enige gebore seun gestuur het, so dat niemand verlore mag gaan nie. En ons Here Jesus het plek in sy hart vir elke kultuur, vir elke mens, en elke man, elke vrou. En Petrus het sy mond geopen en gesê, ek sien waarlik dat God geen aannemer van die persoon is nie, maar dat in elke nasie die een wat hom vrees en geregtigheid doen hom welgevallig is. En sy oor is daar nie meer Griek of Jood, besnede of onbesnede nie, barbaar, Skot, boer of Tswana, maar Christus is alles en in alles. En Paulus maak het baie duidelik vir ons in Romeine en Galatius en Colossense. En hier kom Jong Thaddeus ook ingestap. Hoe kom die kruis, vraag hy? Kon hulle dit nie net 'n bakkie makliker gemaak nie? Why the cross? There are so many other ways. They could have beheaded him, it's fast and it's finished. They could have kept on whipping him until he died. There are so many other ways. They could have stoned him. That's legal. It was legal. And they thought about these things. But some of the points is because of the fact that the cross of Jesus Christ, the symbolical values of the cross, is immeasurable. There are so many things that we can find in those pieces of wood that was nailed together and bolted together. The straight parts called the stipes, and the horizontal parts called the patibulum. You just look at those two. I don't see one nearby, but you will see that the cross is foundational to all our faith, everything. There's types, the straight up peace, talks about our relationship with the Father. And our relationship with men and with our families are connected to the movement of this one, my relationship with Father. Because if this relationship just goes a little bit out, my relationship goes way out. So protect your relationship with your people. That's what we learn in the cross. There are some other things as well. Yes, the other one is if you look at the globe of the earth, and then you can see that there are two markers, the vertical one and the horizontal one. And if you keep on extending, let's say the vertical one, it will soon cover the whole earth, and you're extending the parabellum, the horizontal one, it will soon cover the whole earth. I hope you can understand my reasoning. I should have done this enough of grants, don't you think? It should have been much better. But anyway, and these are some of many, many, many symbolical things from the cross, and it's the simplest of everything. I mean, all the other religions have so many other things that they fall down and they got to worship. They can never ever remember them all. But nothing comes to the cross of Christ. Our God-given commission is just simply the following: to know that God in this world wants us to respond to this message today, not this message, the message of Passover, the message of in all the Christian believing churches. It's expected of us today to preach the good news and to declare the good news of sick, the sick being healed, demons being driven out, people in the prisons, it's been set free, even death being raised into life, and to fight the good fight against all these mighty demons of Satan in the time that we live. I also pray that this day will sharpen our senses again, our spirit to be sharpened, to be able to discern between the good and the bad. Because some churches are flooded with false doctrine and difficult things, and the gospel is simple. The gospel is powerful. I want to skip a few verses, a few points, and we see that old Thomas Didymus, one of the twins, unbeliever twins, he came in and he said to them, how are we going to do this commission, this great commission? How are we going to do it? And John said, he promised us that we will not be on our own. He will send the Holy Spirit. He will send us the Holy Spirit to empower us, to give us the wisdom, give us whatever is needed to preach the gospel to unsaved people. And again, it becomes quiet. And I think some of them thinking back about that day again, because it was so gruesome, terrible. And again, I thought of Arnold and how gruesome and how terrible it was. And then came Mary, the mother of Jesus. And most of them, at the time of the crucifixion, they stood afar off, says the Bible. Just a few were there at the cross. Mary was one of them. And she said to him, have you heard that one word that he said? Just shortly before he died. He said, tetelestai. Oh, what is that? Well, I'm sure they would have known, because it's Greek. It's a Greek that says, a Greek note that says, it's been paid for. It's a final installment. I've dealt with that. Believe what I've done and you will be set free from that which hinders you. Tetelestai. The bill has been paid. The bill has been paid. Your bill has been paid. The question is, have you received it? That you receive that freedom, that you allow him to let you really become free from that bill of sin. It must be paid. It has been paid. There's nothing left over to be paid. It's by faith that we do this. En vandag wil ek vir jou vra, dat jy werklik al die losprys aanvaar, dat Jesus jou vrygekoop het en gered het. I want to ask you, have you truly accepted what Jesus done for you on the cross? That he paid for your freedom. Have you truly accepted that? And at that same time, Salome came into the room and she laid the table, and on the table was bread and wine and all the things. And when Peter looked up, he took the bread and he broke the bread. And suddenly it snapped. Suddenly something happened. I think he said, the blood and the wine, look at the blood and the wine. I think all the other disciples said, what about that? Every day we have three meals of grape juice and wine and the bread. It's part of our lifestyle. It's our food. And again he said, look again. The others wondered, what is wrong with him? And then, like, so skille van oor afval, ne? Sê hy vir hulle, onthou julle nie. Can't you see what's happening here? Jesus shows you who I am, that I will never forsake you nor leave you, because there will always be bread on the table. And it doesn't matter which table you're thinking about, there will always be something to drink. Well, never mind what you think. And they will always, now that we've seen this, we have seen the Lamb. And after he said thank you, and after he prayed and he broke the bread and he gave it to them, he says, take it, eat, this is my body, and do it so that you can remember me forever. And today you will stand before the table of the bread, and I want you to think about these things. Don't let it just pass you by. Don't listen to the struggling words of a poor preacher. Listen to what the Holy Spirit says to you. Listen to what the Spirit of God say to you. And he took the cup, Peter did. No, this was the Lord. En nadat hy gedank het, sê hy, drink allemaal daaruit en sê, doen dit tot my gedagtenis, want dit is my bloed, die bloed van die Nieuwe Testament, wat vir baie uitgestort word, die vergifnis van sondes. Matteus 26 vers 26. En die skille val van hulle oë af, toe hulle daai brood neem en hulle onthou, dit sal my altyd laat onthou van Goeie Vrydag, die dag toe Jesus Christus gekruisig is. Ek sal dit nooit vergeet nie, want hy het vir ons gewys deur die brood. Hy is die lewende brood, hy is die lewende water, of hy is die lewende sap, of hy is die lewende wijn, non-alkoholiese wijn. En so eet en drink hulle dan verder, en hulle sien die brood, en hulle sien die wijn, die bloed van die lam van God. En hulle weet, hoe seer ook al, hoe seer en hoe pynig in daai kruis ook al moes gebeur het, so dat die skrifte vervul kon word, so dat ons vandag hier kan staan en eet en drink van die brood en van die wijn, so dat ons kan lewe. En van daardie dag af, wanneer hulle ook al brood eet en drink, kon hulle nie anders as om aan hom te dink nie. Dink net vir 'n oomblik, daai scenario wat hier moet plaasvind, van nou gaan ons eet, en die eerste ding wat hulle vat is die brood. Vandag ook, wanneer ons sit is in die restaurant, die eerste wat hulle bring is 'n broodjie. En onmiddellik onthou hulle die kruisiging, die opstanding van die Here Jesus Christus. Maak het sin vir jy? Ja, is eenvoudig. In 1 Korintiërs kry ons die opdrag om dit te doen. Ek lees nie die hele stuk nie. Doen dit ter herinneringe aan my, want wanneer jy hierdie brood eet en hierdie beker drink, verkondig jy die dood van die Here totdat hy kom. En skielik gaan die skille af. Ek sê dit weer. Skielik val die skille van my eie oë af, gisteraan laat toe ek weer hierdie ding lees. Wow! Die eenvoud van die evangelie van Jesus Christus. Die hoekom van brood en wijn. Na 2000 jaar nog steeds. Verskillende denominaties in ons klein dorpie. Maar een ding doen ons vandag. Ons hou paasfeest. Ons praat weer oor die kruis. Ons praat weer oor die bloed. Ons praat weer oor die brood wat gebreek is. En vandag wil ek weer vir jou vra. Het jy werkelijk in jou lewe al daardie losprys aanvaar wat Jesus vir jou betaal het? Het jy werkelijk al aanvaar dat jy vrygekoop is? Vrygekoop is deur daardie kruis op Golgotha. En as jy so luister na hierdie boodskap, is daar 'n paar dinge wat altyd uitkom. Glo, jy moet nommer 1, jy moet glo. Daar is geen geestelike ervaring sonder geloof nie. Jy moet glo. En dan daai geloof bring mense by 'n punt in jou lewe waar jy sê, oh no, that's not me, daai getuienis wat ons gehoor het. Van 'n voorlewe en 'n nalewe. En daai berou dwing ons daartoe om te bekeer tot God. En vergifnis te vra, te bely, en dan om te bely, Here Jesus, hier is ek, ek is regtig, wat is ek? Ek beroep my op wat u aan die kruis gedoen het. Ek het die heel onderaan geskrywe, dit was nie 'n goeie Vrydag nie, ne? Of was dit? En Sondag sal ons daarna kyk. En ons gaan nou brood breek, ons het saam gekyk na die instelling, het ons gekyk na die agtergrond van die brood breek en alles wat daarmee saamgaan. Ons gaan nou by die tafel aansit van die sterk man een bietjie daai tafel skuif, of miskien kan dit een tafel dalk genoeg. Kom ons kyk net bietjie, asseblief, Dawie. En dan wil ek vir jou nog 'n bietjie huiswerk gee. Sondagoggend is Paasfees oggend, opstandings of die opstandingsoggend. Daar by die deur is wie staan wag daar by die deur? Wie sê wie sê Dawie? Okay. Anyway, jou wat verwelkom. Jy groet hom, jy sê vir hom, hy het opgestaan, en daar nou groet jou terug, hy het waarlik opgestaan. Amen. Het ons dit? Hy het opgestaan. Amen. Hy leef. Kom ons staan. Ek moet weer vir u vandag vra, hoe staan jou saak met die Here? What is your relationship with God? Is he just a very famous man who lived, a prophet, a teacher, a great teacher he was? What is your relationship with Christ? And if it's a purely almost like scientific knowledge of Christ, and praise the Lord, you do not blaspheme or do anything, any bad sin and all those things. The thing is he your Lord? Is he your master? Is he your king? Is he manager of your life? Because if he's not, I pray that today you will fire the old manager and get a new one. But I pray that you don't walk out of this wall today doubting. Some of us will be here in front after the service. And please come. If God the Holy Spirit spoke through to you, through this broken vessel, take note. He speaks from God's heart. Not just an instrument. But he speaks from God's heart. Get your life sorted out with Jesus, because look at what's happening in the world. Jesus is coming back. And I can't think it can be another 2,000 years. The world is in absolute chaos, and I don't have to tell you. But I want to challenge you. Get your life sorted out with Christ Jesus. Get your life sorted out with Christ Jesus. And I pray if it's not right that these words will... I don't know how to say that in English. But it will urge you on to make right with Jesus Christ. And that testimony word we heard from Peter's this morning, that's the product of what can happen here today. A fullness of life, so much so that your own wife does not know you anymore. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Washes whiter than the snow. There's salvation in the blood of Jesus. It's salvation in the blood of Jesus. There's salvation in the blood of Jesus. Washes whiter than the snow. Just for your information, this table is the Lord's table. And ons het geen kaartentransport daarop. Dit behoort aan die Here. Dis die Here se liggaam. Dit is my liggaam, sê hy. So, if your life is in order with Christ Jesus our Lord, as we just asked you, if it is, then you are free to eat and drink with us. But if it's just maybe a traditional thing that must be done, then please restrain from doing anything until you sorted out your life with Jesus Christ. Then, because this is the table of the Lord, it's not the table of Heartbeat Christian Community Church or any other denomination for that matter. It's the body of the Lord.